Welcome to Pinecast. Joining me today are Mark and Joseph. You can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow Mark at Cuninho88.
C-U-N-N-I-N-H-O 88.
And Joseph at I Hate Your Club.
It's a new account.
Yeah, it's a new account. Get on that. Joseph, were you watching many of the international friendlies?
I watched none other than some highlights. I didn't watch. I mean, they're during the week, some of them. I was too late to watch this one last Saturday. I think, was it England played Saturday or Sunday? I was trying to find it, and I was like a half hour too late. But no, I just watched highlights.
Very nice.
It's friendlies. So I wasn't going to stress over.
I think the main thing we worry about is we were worrying to see what happened after. So, well, who got goals and who got injured?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mark, it's been a particularly rough week for you as a United fan. With this big matchup at the weekend coming up, hasn't quite gone the way you had hoped. You guys have lost quite a few more players. So can you give me a rundown of who has been injured now for United?
Well, I'd first like to say how much I hate the international break, not just because it takes us away from EPL, but also because of what's happened to Angel Di Maria, who ironically was tackled by Nani,
that's
fucking
hilarious.
People. Son of a bitch. And of course, Daley Blind possibly rupturing his MCL. We have Michael Carrick going out with a thigh injury. We have Luke Shaw with a groin injury. Things are just not looking good for...
Who else is out just in general besides...
In general, we have Marcos Rojo with a dislocated shoulder.
Oh, that's right.
We have Phil Jones with his thigh injury that he'll never get over. We have Johnny Evans with his ankle injury. Falcao with his knee injury.
Well, I thought it was different things now. It's not the knee.
Oh, I guess it's like his hamstring or his calf.
Hamstring or groin.
Which
he probably
which
came
happens
back
when
too
you're
early.
Compensating
yeah.
for your knee injury. But things aren't looking good. You know, I think
every left-footed player you have.
Oh, almost every left-footed.
Except for Judas and
RVP, Juan Mata and Adnan Januzaj. Those are the three left-footers left. It's quite sad.
I assume they'll all start.
Yeah, they'll all be starting. I don't know. These are so many fucked up injuries. I don't really know. Yeah. You already had all these makeshift players in all these positions. Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're likely to see some children in the lineup. But we're going to get to that match a little bit later. England did have a few interesting matches. Got the results. Interesting to see about five Arsenal players in the team at one point. You know, it's quite exciting. We sent six to the squad.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking a little longer than many of us had anticipated, but a lot of us thought that we would be seeing a lot of these guys in the fold. Kieran Gibbs is playing at left back. Callum Chambers was in the squad. You know, you have guys like Wilshere, who, to Joseph's point, was talking about before, was about I think it was fourth man of the match in a row for England, playing a deep lying kind of playmaker role, which is intriguing because we're not sure it's something we're going to see transferred over to the club.
It's good for his confidence, if anything.
Certainly, I mean, you know, a player in form certainly helps. So wherever he can get the games where it looks like he's playing better, I mean, granted they haven't been the toughest challenges in terms of the opposition, but. You know, results are results. And Welbeck got two goals over the weekend.
And, I mean, in terms of Jack Wilshere, maybe Arsene Wenger will start considering placing more responsibility on his shoulders. Maybe trying to center the team a little bit more around him.
No.
Not yet.
Well, not with Alexis, but, I mean, maybe it would benefit him.
It still seems that in terms of the pecking order at Arsenal, he's behind Aaron Ramsey at the moment, which... You know,
his production is very, very slow.
It's dropped off this season, and you know, there's been a lot written about it, a lot talking about his. You know, he's always looking for the Hollywood pass a bit, and it's one of those things that last season when we were watching him, every time he tried that back heel or that flick, it was coming off, and that's just, you know, happens. You have a player in form, then everything's going right for it, but then you can tell that he's working extra hard, he's pressing, he's trying these things, and things aren't coming off. It's an interesting dynamic because we have so many players. Like we've hit this point over and over again with Arsenal is that like the team should be better than it was last season because on paper the names are a little bit better. We've strengthened in certain areas. I mean, outside of the defensive crisis, like, you have all these people that you expect to do a lot, but really we haven't been getting much return from Santi Cazorla, Wilshere and Ramsey. Neither one of them has really provided much this season. You know, Ramsey got a couple goals right at the beginning of the season, but that was his big contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people that we expect to do a job just haven't really been doing it. So outside of Alexis, it's been kind of slim pickings as to who's really, you know, pulling their weight.
It's funny because everybody else seems to be struggling to mesh. And Alexis, who, by right, I guess, along those lines should also be struggling, but they just kind of put it on his shoulders and he's more than happy to take that and you know, run with it. So, which he's done very well, obviously.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think, like, even though, Joseph, you think, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen the flowing football that we all came to love and grew to, you know, really associate with Arsenal. But, you know, we haven't had that same style of play really being shown in effect over the past couple seasons. It's been a little more conservative, you know, but it looks like we finally have some of the tools. What do you think about our attacking play? What do you think is going to change with the return of your boy, Theo?
Well, hopefully we'll be more clinical with Theo in the lineup. But, you know, I don't know. I think it's still such a, you know, Wenger doesn't know what his best team is because he hasn't had him really available all year. And even we pick up, you know, little injuries. I know there's a doubt on Welbeck whether he'll be okay for the weekend or not. And Theo's not ready, though. I mean, Theo's still, he didn't even get a 15 minutes in the England match or anything.
Yeah, that was a little surprising. I mean, it was probably good just to bring him back in the fold to see, to play with those guys. I thought at the end they probably should have given him a couple minutes, but.
But, I mean, so I can't see him even starting yet because he's not early match fit. He's only played, hell, he only had a substitute appearance for us for about 10 minutes.
Well, that's okay. I mean, I'd like to see him start actually using him as a substitute. I mean, he really could. We could use him. It's a role he's familiar with that he used to do with aplomb for Arsenal that now, like we've been talking on the podcast earlier, that that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's been kind of filling that role for us, being that like first go-to sub, that pace off the bench, the threat down the wing.
With Theo there, he certainly gives us that option. It's something they used to do for us for many years. So
I think it's a nice way to acclimate
him back in.
I think the apprehension comes from the fact that if you were to use him as a substitute, typically one would assume that you would put him on to run the defense ragged from the 70th minute on.
Right. But
because he's coming out of injury and because of all these factors, like not really being match fit, that isn't really a good option for any manager at this point.
Really? Don't think so? I mean, the manager knows best. We don't see how he looks in training.
Exactly.
But
I mean, ultimately, you know.
But the thing is, they've taken a really long timeline with this because, look, Falcao tore his ACL the week after Theo did.
Right.
You know, their returns were a few months apart, but obviously it hasn't really gone swimmingly for Falcao. You know, he's been in and out with injury, you know, dealing with the problems of how you try to overcome a long-term injury. You know, it's not
the same player.
Thank God.
Oh, man.
It's been nice. Well, technically, he's only on loan right now so far. That move is not permanent yet.
It's a trial period.
So we'll see what actually comes of it.
Expensive trial period.
Very expensive.
Trial period.
But, you know, it could potentially get more expensive. So.
Yeah. It'll be, you know.
It'll be interesting, to say the least. If we could get him back in form, I mean, I figure Monaco is just laughing right now. You know, they're saying, what a great deal we fucking struck with United. You know,
yeah, well,
they're making for 340,000 a week or something.
Well, you know, he'll never go back there.
Oh,
so.
No, yeah, that's not happening. It's still good money for what it is for now. So.
Absolutely,
with the potential sale also down the road. So,
Mark, let's have a little update. So last time we had you on the podcast, you were pretty upbeat. You were being a little bullish about how you guys were going to storm back into the top four. It's certainly within the realm of reason. I think the landscape has changed a little bit, but I think Liverpool has dropped off as much as we both had hoped.
Right.
So
yes. Yeah.
So it already looks for them like they're basically
the ideal team we had hoped them to be. So.
And so it looks like they're almost, you know, they're a couple weeks, couple matches away from being out of contention for the top four eventually.
Right.
So, you know, you're still there with, you know, thereabouts or within a shout. How do you feel about the season so far for United, and how do you feel like Louis van Gaal's adapted?
Obviously, like you said, with Arsenal, we're not able to field our best team or even a consistent team for more than 2 weeks. That is not going to be anyone's fault. I mean, so much of it has been bad luck. You could say it's the double training sessions, but Van Gaal went in there to instill a philosophy and instill rigorous training schedule, and whether it's caused these injuries is, you know, I guess only retrospect will tell. But the style of football they're playing is very positive. The results that they're getting against the teams that really, you know, dominated them last season are much better this season. And because of the way the Premier League is panning out, I mean, all the best to Southampton, but, you know, I doubt they're going to be able to hold this streak that they're on for too long. And so that fourth place position will remain open, I think, until the death. And so we're offered the liberty of time for these players to get healed, to get back in action, and to finally form that starting 11 that we will count on, that Liverpool were able to count on last season when they made that run for first, but ended up second. So
give me your assessment. What has been the brightest spot for United over the first 3 months of the season, and what has been the biggest disappointment?
I think the brightest spot, in all honesty, is the reemergence of Marouane Fellaini. For what a joke he had become over last season, I would say now it looks like, with his positive play, the team actually has some depth. If everybody's healthy, of course. But, you know, he's putting in some good results. The style of our play is good. But I guess ultimately, you know, the draw against Chelsea really showed that we're not going to just lie down and take it the way that David Moyes had almost, like, instilled into this team last season. We lied down and took it from every team apart from Chelsea, who, as we all know, Mourinho tends to pussy out when he plays against United. So
that is his MO.
Yeah, but this season he was no pussy against most teams.
No, he's still done it.
Yeah, United, he still does it. But result in the death was Ferguson-esque, which is everything we hope United return to in the near future. So that was very positive. I love that. I loved that result. And maybe even the Man City in defeat, we still had a lot of pride walking away from that. The downside,
fuck your moral victory.
Yeah, well, sometimes you need those. But the downside has obviously been the injuries. And I think...
But who's been your most disappointing player?
Most disappointing player is Juan Mata. I don't think that he has brought to the table what he offered Chelsea only like two seasons ago. And he looks off pace. He doesn't look as sharp as he normally is. And the worst part is he's being allowed to play the position that he has been asking for so long. And he just did not show up.
So he's just depressed in Manchester.
Yeah, depressed in Manchester. I don't blame him. Manchester can be a very gloomy place, but for God's sake, like.
Joseph, why don't you give me your reflections on United this season? What have you thought from what you've seen?
Well,
Joseph?
They are not really that fun to watch.
I'll give my thoughts on it instead. No, I'm really surprised at what we saw in terms of what United have turned some of what the style of play like has been really swashbuckling, and it looks great and grand, but it's the same thing that many teams get crucified for. Mm-hmm. You know, like that swashbuckling spirit that gave you the few goals to go ahead, and, you know, like I'm thinking of like the Leicester game, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just kind of the naivety to throw away a lead that late in the game by just, you know, making a game so open like that. It's the same thing. You know, Arsenal have thrown away a few leads recently, and it's the same critique comes up over and over. Mm-hmm. You know, that you, like, it's naive to go out and leave yourself that exposed with under 20 minutes left in a match and things like that. And the way these things go, it just seems like with these players and these squads, they shouldn't be making such simple mistakes. And the defense has just been shambolic.
They're almost, well, the defense on United is fresh-faced, to say the least. So, but I don't think that's an excuse. You know, you trust in these defenders regardless of the situation they're thrown in. And it was really the midfield that lets and has consistently let our team down. And I think, you know, all this mixing and matching and these injuries, and I think Arsenal fans can, you know, attest to feeling that same frustration because we can't get... I loved the diamond, the 4-4-2 diamond, but then injuries forced us to play the 4-3-3. And I don't like the 4-3-3. I don't like how it looks. I don't like where Yanezai is being employed. And all these things just come from injury and, I mean, just inability to mesh, you know? And I think with a team like Arsenal, there isn't really as much of an excuse because you guys have been together longer. I'm not trying to make excuses for United, but, you know, part of the reason why we have shown a poor run of games, to be honest, like no away wins, is just, it boils down to lack of consistency. And shit, that showed purely in that Leicester match. Just they couldn't play the same style of football for more than 5 minutes at a time.
Well, and like you said, I mean, look, Arsenal are going through a transition as well. We haven't had this high of turnover in players in quite a while. And the same thing with United. I mean, the amount of injuries in Forest means you have such a large amount of players that don't have any type of understanding, that haven't played together for even a season. Mm-hmm. And that certainly affects that. I mean, it's it's a pretty drastic thing. You know, you have to go in and play with 3 to 5 new people. You know, we're just barely reintegrating Theo Walcott into the side. And it's like, well, there's no Bakary Sagna behind you anymore, like what you're used to. And now it's Callum Chambers, then it's going to be Debushi, and it's going to occasionally be Hector Bellerin. I mean, like, you really have done almost no training with any of these because they're all basically new. Bellerin's, you know, a new promotee from down below, from the youth setup. Mm-hmm. And the other two guys are brand new players that have never played with Theo because Theo's, you know, been injured for the past year. So, I mean, these things, these adaptations take time. And like you said, I mean, look at all the fresh faces. What are the defenders that we're going to be seeing lining up for United this weekend?
Obviously, Paddy McNair is going to start because, as Van Gaal has stated, every time Paddy McNair starts, we win. So he's our lucky Irishman.
What happened to Blackett?
Tyler Blackett might start. I mean,
shit, you don't have anybody else. He might start.
Yeah, we lost Daley Blind. Michael Carrick will have to cover that defensive midfield role. I mean, that's,
and he's not even fit.
He's not even fit. That's true. You just reminded me of that. So, in all honesty, I have no idea who's going to fucking play. We have Luke Shaw, who's injured. We have, I mean, Michael Keane might play.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, he's, you know.
Do you guys have still have a Bootner?
No.
He's gone, right?
We sold him.
So, what is Raphael going to play?
You guys should have kept him. You could have played this
weekend.
We might
have been in a better position with him. But Raphael might not be match fit. He's just recovering from an injury.
But we need his red card.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Right, sure.
I still remember him scoring that one goal in that fucking game.
Oh, man, against Liverpool?
No, dude. Raphael scored a screamer against Arsenal once to tie the match. It was like, we were actually going to win, I think. Isn't that right, Joseph?
Yeah, I believe that's right. Oh, so is Valencia going to start it right?
Valencia
on the right?
Will start it right back, I'm assuming. We have wingers, so we'll be fine.
That's the one thing you have.
Yeah, we have plenty of wingers.
And spades.
Well, Di Maria might not make it, so we might actually move Yanezai to the left, and then Valencia might play on the right.
Well, that'd be perfect. Yanezai or Di Maria on Chambers should be lovely for us.
Yeah. Yeah, considering the match Chambers had against Swansea.
It was Saborio? What was the name of the guy?
The one who ran circles around him.
Yeah,
asshole.
That guy.
Yeah.
That was less than pleasing. I mean,
that's the problem, that you don't even know his name.
Well, the problem is
Ox's not helping out, but
right.
Yeah, I mean he got stranded there a lot. You know, he got stuck there to deal with it by himself for a large chunk of the time, which I don't really, you know, it's just really tough.
Right.
But you know what? I mean, what can you do? I mean, like you said, it's a weird situation because we're talking about playing Hector Bellerin in that spot, but if Arsene hasn't trusted him in any of these other matches to do it, it doesn't seem like he's going to start that against Manchester United. No. So
well, we have started with worse players.
Hey, we gave Chesney his first ever start against Manchester United as like a 19-year-old.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That was 8-2, wasn't it?
No, it was not. No.
But
sure it, I'm sure playing.
No, that was, it was a one, I think it was a 1-0 defeat to like, to a fucking like Park Ji-sung like header or some shit.
Man, I hate that guy.
Oh God.
Third long park.
God, he used to always kill us. He used to always score against Arsenal. I mean, he wasn't quite Drogba, but I mean, no. quite the killer.
Yeah.
You guys miss your Korean.
Yeah, we do. Always started the Champions League final. But
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really tough decision, I think, for Van Gaal to make. I don't think, like, him, let alone many managers in their career, have ever experienced this type of injury crisis.
Finger does what we do every year.
Yeah,
we do. We're the only people who can understand.
I said not many.
Right.
I didn't say not all of them.
Well, it's Arsenal lead the Premier League and the Premier League injury.
Yeah. Up till this season, United was the least out of the big four, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I thought you guys were second, I thought. No, but
we are not an injury-prone team. So new to us.
I think there are stats that beg to differ because I believe that United are the second most – have had the second most amount of injuries, but we also had two of the biggest squads for the entire Premier, you know.
Right.
The history of the Premier League. Yeah. So go figure. It kind of goes with the territory.
Exactly.
So what do you think the tactics are going to be? What do you think Louis van Gaal's tactics are going to be against Arsenal at the weekend?
I'm going to say he'll play the 4-3-3 again just because he's forced to. Hopefully we'll get Ander Herrera back in there with some action. We might even push Carrick into center.
I thought he was hurt.
Oh, man, why do I keep forgetting that?
Third fucking time.
Oh, it is the third time. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I don't know then.
So then it'll be Fellaini, right?
We'll have Fellaini for sure. He'll definitely start just because
he terrorizes us generally.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy and you guys have, you know.
Midgets.
You don't have, to say the least. Little except guys. For Mertesacker. You have some little people in defense and I think he might offer a threat constantly. I just hope that Ander Herrera and Mata get together and do some of the magic that they were doing in the diamond, because I think they had a good connection going. So Ander Herrera, Juan Mata, Robin Van Persie, Marouane Fellaini, Adnan Januzaj,
Wayne Rooney,
Antonio Valencia, Tyler Blackett, hopefully Luke Shaw is healthy. Let's just take a gamble if I had a fantasy team. Luke Shaw, and then, of course, Paddy McNair, my favorite player this year.
So who's going to
be
the
goal? And what about De Gea? Is De Gea
no,
he's out, right? Yeah, Lindegaard's going to be playing, right? I was talking to him.
That's another one I completely forgot.
Yeah, right, the De Gea injury.
Jesus Christ.
So was it a dislocated finger or was it a broken finger? I forget. Finger. Okay, so that's good. That's not as
he'll be fine. He'll be back next week, but once again, so will Angel Di Maria, and next week is not Arsenal, so.
Yeah, I mean, is De Gea's status decided yet? Or is he's just a question mark, right? He's a questionable for the match.
It's Wednesday. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Come press conference of the weekend. Yeah.
Ice packs.
Get him in that bariatric chamber. We need someone to get some miracle shit for Arsenal. I mean, we're finally getting a bunch of the injuries back.
Right.
You know, but like you know, we're the two teams that have been decimated the most. You know, we've got a few guys coming back. Interesting. So we have Giroud back in training.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's great to have him. I don't think he'll be, you know, people talk about him potentially being in the squad this weekend. I don't believe it. And I don't believe if he was, he'd play.
Why? Danny Welbeck did just fine.
Well, Welbeck took a knock also at the end of the match. Oh,
held his hamstring.
He held his hamstring. So they said cramp.
Maybe he just wanted off.
I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to save himself a little bit.
But you know, really, he really wants to play against Manchester United. So,
right.
So we'll see. I mean, we're praying he's fit because he's, you know, been a large part of the game, what we've been doing now. He hasn't been banging in the goals for Arsenal so much as of yet. You know, he has that one hat trick and, what, one other goal? Two other goals, Joseph?
I think two other goals.
And then, but he's had quite a few for England as of late. And so
I told you guys, though, I mean, he's not prolific. But he might give you the edge.
Yeah.
That is exactly what he brings to it. He might give you the edge. And that's all you can ask from certain players at times. So, good for Danny Welbeck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Joseph, you didn't give us your thoughts earlier. What are your thoughts on the United situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, watching them a little bit, it is, there's some serious parallels to what we have to endure about why doesn't that kind of talent, why aren't they winning? Why aren't they doing better than they are? I would, but for them, I think it's just less. I mean, I know they bought a lot of players and are expected to get better, but I don't think anybody thought this was going to be their year this year. There's a progression, whereas ours just seems to constantly spin wheels. So I think there's a little bit more hope on their side than there is on ours right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that in the sense that it's just, it really seems tough to see where the progress is going to come at Arsenal with Arsene Wenger still being there. But that's really taking us down a whole other road. Because obviously that whole conversation has resurfaced when you just see, I mean, it's just, people get tired of the same old pony show, you know? Like, this is the same situation. We see it year after year. It's fucking Groundhog Day all the time, that this is the same level of which they're going to be competing at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, some of us have accepted it. It doesn't mean you're happy about it, but it is. It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
I mean, but
things aren't that bad. We're pretty shit. I mean, we've been playing pretty shit. We really have. But we're still, I mean, we're not out of third place right now. I mean, it's certainly feasible that we'll end up third.
I mean, West Ham is in that same situation. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's all
up for grabs.
Season. Yeah.
And I think for us, for us, a lot of it has to do with just injuries in the places we're injured. You know, I mean, United has the same issue in their defense. And hopefully Koscielny will be back sometime in December, as long as they've rested that Achilles long enough. But for us, I think we'll see a much better team come January with the players back. And I just think that's when the quality will happen, and that's when teams like Southampton and West Ham they'll drop. And I expect Southampton might still finish like sixth, which would still be a great year for them. Mm-hmm. And West Ham will drop to like ninth, like normal, you know?
Right. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. So Joseph, give me your prediction for these games. Cause I think we were talking about this the other day and you surprised me a little bit, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. It'd be a 2-0 win for Arsenal, and it won't be like our normal worrying, fretting over every single thing. I think it'll be comfortable. Like I said, it's only 2-0, but I just don't think it's going to be. I think we're going to win comfortably this time.
That's bold. I mean, it certainly is bold. I mean,
it'll be the first time I predicted a win against United in, I don't know, ever? 3 years. So
yeah, I mean, I can't remember a time you ever predicted since we've begun the Pintcast. I don't think you've ever picked Arsenal to beat United. That was only
this is the only time.
Silly blind hope.
And I don't know that it'll happen again in the return fixture, but this is just this particular fixture I feel will win. Okay. And a lot of it has to do with, you know,
injuries, form?
Injuries for United. If everybody was fit, I don't know that I'd be picking the same score.
I'm going to say our young guns, they step up in defense and they keep it to somewhat, they keep some control over that zone of the field. And United take their opportunities 3-1.
You're not going to stop Sanchez. You're not going to keep Sanchez quiet. He's going to score at least one.
At least one, huh?
At least one. That's I predict his or both
I,
of.
I you know what though? I will say the one thing that we do have against that argument is size. United, whoever they field. They'll be relatively large players, and with Fellaini there, I think you might be surprised at the kind of space that Sanchez is going to be given.
Yeah, from what I've
I'm
going to
be so
defense,
bold and
yeah.
say we're going to get a penalty.
Oh,
wow! Have we had a penalty this season? We've had
That's
one,
bold.
Right? We've had one penalty this season.
Yeah, it's time for another one. I think we've had one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're always up there with the fewest. Most fouled team.
Most fouled team.
Yes, but fewest penalties.
Most fouled, but we never get
dancing around out there, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, what was that, Joseph?
Yeah, but we, somehow we never get calls inside. As soon as the inside the box, it's no longer a foul.
Yeah.
The rules change.
The struggle is real.
Yeah.
So one for each side. I'm gonna side with Joseph. I mean, weird, right? Predictable, right?
Oh,
that we
yeah,
would go
yeah.
this route. I don't know that it'll be nearly as comfortable as he says. I think we're gonna eke out a one goal victory, but it's gonna be something either 2-1 or 3-2. So okay. I'll go 2-1 to the Arsenal.
A 3-2 match would be very exciting.
It would be very exciting.
Yeah.
It'd be quite the spectacle. But I don't know. It's very likely considering the shambolic state of both defenses as the way they stand.
Who scores first?
Fucking Arsenal need to score first.
Arsenal, okay.
Right. We need to, so we will. But
yeah. Don't you want United to score first and just crumble like you guys have been?
No. You know what? Because
honestly,
dude, just the environment in the ground just gets toxic, and you start losing to United, it's just the same grumbling and shit. Like it's a bit sad sometimes. I mean, because the atmosphere, the home atmosphere for both at Old Trafford and also at Arsenal. You know, can certainly turn. You know, these people are used to caviar. When shit comes up that's just not of the same caliber, you know, they turn their fucking noses and they get all snooty and shit. So it's never necessarily what's best for the team at the time. You know, they could really use the crowd picking them up, but you know,
if you're a spoiled brat,
right?
You know,
and we know that the fans of both of these clubs are spoiled as fuck.
When you're a spoiled brat, you don't really care much for others. You know what I mean? So.
Lack of compassion,
mm-hmm.
fucking
or
bastards.
For that,
yeah, lack of empathy. Yeah, I think Arsenal's gonna have enough. Like I'm bold. I'm feeling it. I'm perfectly confident. You ready for a wager on this?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, what do you want to wager?
Let's say. Do you want to wager alcohol or cash money?
Cash money.
Cash
straight
money.
Cash, homie.
Straight cash. All right. I'm gonna make
We can make it gentlemanly.
Yeah. Okay. Keep. Let's say $30.
$30.
$30.
Sure.
It's a fair one.
Fair.
Know, I was debating right. 50, but 30.
Okay.
Is a
that's fair.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. A draw is a nothing.
And to all you high rollers out there, I'm sorry. We don't make the same amount of money that you do.
It's not in our pay grade to really go big. But
I'd probably get
in
a fight if I lost $30. So it's
Right.
Fair
it's
enough.
High enough for me.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, so hopefully we make some more money at the weekend. I don't accept PayPal. I want straight cash,
okay,
homie.
Okay.
That's it.
Venmo?
PayPal.
You guys into Venmo?
I don't know what kind of bullshit that is.
I don't know what kind of. I'm not up with the Venmo.
So it's all cash money with you.
Straight cash, homie.
Cash
I mean,
transaction.
I was watching that Randy Moss 30 for 30, man. Straight cash, homie.
Straight
that's
cash.
It.
Cash.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, it's exciting. I mean, it's kind of sad that this fixture has lost a little bit of its luster because this used to be the biggest match of the season. These two matches were the ones that we would, you know, respectively, as each other's biggest rivals. This was like, holy shit, Arsenal, Manchester United, Manchester United, Arsenal, with the biggest fixtures.
And it's going to be a first and second place battle, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It was always going to be that. Worst case scenario was like first versus third.
Right.
But everyone knew who the two biggest teams were.
Now it's eighth and ninth.
Hey, hold on. Where are we at, Joseph? We're in fifth, right?
Sixth
and seventh?
I think so.
Is that where we are?
I think so.
Fact check that for us?
Yeah. That sounds about right. Well, whatever. Let me move up the table. I'm not too worried about that.
It feels like it's two prize – what was once two prize fighters are now bandaged, old, missing
no.
an ear.
That reminds me of that shitty fucking there was some fight movie that just came out that was Sylvester Stallone against Robert De Niro. And like, what is his grandpa's fighting?
Yes!
Like,
oh,
God,
so
what
bad.
A terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a very fun analogy,
no,
man. I don't,
not.
That's
not. It's Raging Bull versus Rocky. But
30 years
later.
No one wants to see those old bags of bones, man. It's disturbing. Like, I used to work in surgery. I'm used to seeing these old, nasty, wrinkled bodies. Like, don't put them on the big screen. This shit's disgusting.
No, it's not. Robert De Niro has man tits. I mean, for God's sake, Don Corleone has man tits these days. Keep it out of my eye line, that's for sure.
Pretty please. Well, I think we'll leave it there. It's a pleasure having you.
Always in
on
man tits.
We'll be watching. I'll be watching this match with Mark somewhere here in L.A. I invited him to the Fox. I don't know if he wants to immerse himself with all the gooners.
I told you about the time I went to the Londoner or something in the London pub in fucking Costa Mesa, filled with Scousers. London pub filled with Scousers. I don't think those fucking guys knew their fucking elbows from their assholes, okay? Like, just, I got berated in front of my woman while wearing a Manchester United jersey.
And I'm sure you deserved every last
word of it. Oh, of course I did. Of course I did.
Did your team win, though? Did your team?
Just scored the own goal against whoever it was in that last match of the season, and I rubbed it in those punks' faces, let me tell you. But yeah, I don't really think I'm down for a repeat of, the overwhelming opposition fan base.
Yeah, you might have to say that for another time.
Yeah.
But anyways, get out to your local, check it out. Big match. I'm really excited for it. I think Arsenal will break our recent duck of our victoryless streak, so we could get that changed.
Let me throw out some food for thought. Is it a season-defining result for either team?
It certainly can be for both.
I don't think for United.
No,
I think it could be something that you could build on. But I don't for Arsenal. I think it will be.
Okay,
but that's I think, like I said before, I just think that your support seems to be okay with the fact that it's a transition.
Right.
You know,
have to be okay with it. That's the problem.
Well, when you've been going through a transition for a decade, yeah, I guess, but you wear out. But if it's your second year, you're still like, all right, this ain't too bad.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'd like to give a nice shout out to the thigh muscle of Daniel Sturridge. I'm really enjoying his work this year.
Yes. Oh,
quality. Yes. Top caliber.
He is the bedridden.
Those Sturridge genes, man. He called it himself. He said, you know, he knew, right? His father.
I know. It was weird kind of that he called it, like, he was on his way towards fitness, and as soon as he said it, he's had two setbacks.
Yeah.
He jinxed himself.
Yeah, he must have already felt it. Fuck, this isn't going to last.
No. Well, it's good for Liverpool. I'm so happy for you guys, all you Scousers out there, you sons of bitches. I'm so happy that you guys are struggling as much as we did last season.
Yeah.
For all the genius that you heaped on Brendan Rodgers, you know, maybe you should have just been heaping it on Suarez. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, and that ship has sailed. He is off to greener pastures. So sorry, Liverpool.
Barcelona's not doing that hot either.
Yeah, they're doing better than Liverpool.
That's so true. Let's not give him that.
Let's not get it twisted. He's playing with Messi and with,
Neymar. His hopes are up.
He's not playing with fucking Markovic.
No, Markovic.
And Lucas Leiva.
Lazar Markovic.
And who is it? Barini?
Amre Chan.
Yeah, no thank you. Yeah. Anyways, all right, guys. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much. Check out the podcast on iTunes. We will be back next week with the roundup of all the United match. We'll be basking in the blood of these United pieces of shit.
You'll be eating peanuts out of our shit. Let me just say that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, see how it goes. All right, guys. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much. Walk.